Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings on this fourth Sunday of Advent that open our hearts to truth, beauty, and goodness, and that you have fulfilled your promise. Through a new outpouring of your Holy Spirit, strengthen us in our inner selves to celebrate this truth and to live it out more effectively. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. So on Thursday, we were prayerfully reflecting on Psalm 132, which is one of the Song of Ascent. So these are psalms that they would pray and sing as they were going up to Jerusalem. And it was David, similar to the setting today with Nathan, you know, saying that he wouldn't sleep until he found a resting place, a dwelling place for the Lord. And then the Lord comes back and reminds him that it's I who took you out of the land. And, you know, and ultimately in his wonderful plan of salvation, God has revealed to us that this is the dwelling place he wants to fill. And George, our guide, said, you know, we always say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he's changed it to, and the Word became flesh and is dwelling among us, because it's a current reality in our world and in our lives. And that's what we're going to celebrate tonight and tomorrow. So our faith is no longer something out here, it's something in here. That's the reality that God wants to accomplish in every single human heart. And he started, you know, out here with Moses giving the law and the Ark of the Covenant. But then there's this huge shift in Ezekiel 36, where he promises to send his Spirit and give us a new heart and prove his holiness through us, so that we could obey him and be a sign of his goodness and blessing for the world around us. So what a privilege that is, that we are a dwelling place for the living presence of God, the triune God, and we can make Jesus known through our words and actions and help people find their way to the family of God. Such a great privilege, but the Lord wants to dwell with his people. And even though we're not always nice to one another, or to God for that matter, he still draws close to us and says, I want to change you. I want you to reach your full maturity as a follower of my Son, and open your heart to the grace of the Holy Spirit and let that happen. And it's a lifelong process. And I said this during daily mass, but I want to say it now. I really think that we are an incredibly distracted church right now. There's so much confusion in the church as far as what is our mission and what is the basic message of the gospel. Peter made it so clear on the day of Pentecost. Repent, turn away from sin, believe in Jesus Christ, be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. And that's getting muddled in the world today and in the church today. And we're warned about a great apostasy in the 675th paragraph of the Catechism in the Catholic Church, that many people would fall away from their faith and put themselves in the place of Jesus, the Messiah, come in the flesh. And even Matthew 24 says, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and produce great signs and omens to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. We're the elect. Our religious leaders are the elect. So we're not immune from this deception, and it's around us, and it seems to be growing. So the best defense is you've got to know your faith yourself. You know, you've got to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, cling to him. Study the catechism, know your faith yourself, but we're surrounded by people who are trying to move away from that. And it's just a period we're going to have to go through, but God is going to give us what we need to get through it. Amen?
Amen.
He said in the last days, I will lavish my Spirit on my people. And it's so beautiful that the day before Christmas is that we celebrate the Annunciation, where Mary was receptive and open to the Holy Spirit and brought forth Jesus into our world. And if we're open and receptive to the Holy Spirit, we can do the same thing. Not exactly in the same way. She's very special, and we all know that. But we can bring forth Jesus in our person, our words and actions, when we forgive people, when we celebrate the Eucharist worthily, as we continue to live out our faith and our message. So it's getting difficult and dark out there, but the darker it gets, the more you appreciate and move closer to the light, if you're smart, right? Yeah, so the light will be even more appreciated. And remember John's prologue. And I would just encourage you to read that in preparation for Christmas. It's so beautiful. The light came and the darkness will not overpower it, will not overcome it. The light is greater than the darkness. And so as you turn on the evening news and you look in your own families and see dysfunction, we've all got that going on. We had an incident happen. I put my hand around my aunt and I said, "Welcome to our dysfunctional family." She said, "I've got one too." There's brokenness all around us. I've been sitting down with people over the last week who won't be getting together for Christmas because of divisions, different things, hardness of heart. It's just really sad to see how the enemy attacks marriage and family. But we don't give up, and we trust in the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us and strengthen us in ourself. I shared this little meditation at the prayer meeting on Thursday, but I want to share with you in anticipation of getting together with your family members. I'll be doing that tomorrow, actually, after the morning mass, heading over to the mountains to the Tri-Cities. But this just reminds us that we can put on the mind of Christ and we don't have to dwell on past hurts and negative things, and that God is always wanting to give us a fresh perspective about what he wants to do. And we bring healing into the world by bringing it into ourselves first. Dr. Bob Schutz, who I'll be meeting with in three weeks, I guess, said that once I open my heart to healing, it just flowed into my family. It just flowed into my family. All these miraculous things started happening. Good news, isn't it? Amen. So let me just end with this. The world abounds with negative things to think about. Sometimes problems, yours or others, seem to shout for your attention. They can occupy more and more of your thinking, causing you to become weary and discouraged in your soul. But remember, you can choose the subject of your thoughts. Cry out to me and I will help you. Turn toward me, letting my light shine upon you. Do not be defeated by wrong choices you have made in the past, and don't let past decisions define who you are in the present. Each moment provides a fresh opportunity to draw near me and enjoy my presence. One way to do this is to pray, "Jesus, I choose to seek you in the midst of my problems." Refuse to get discouraged, even if you have to say this 100 times daily. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You can find peace in me. Amen. So Sarah Young wrote that as from Jesus Today. And she's a Protestant and she was a lovely lady. She just died a few months ago of colon cancer, I think at the age of 77. A Catholic version of that would be, "Jesus, I trust in you." The Divine Mercy logo, which is on my watch. So every time I look at my watch, do I really trust in you? I'm trying, Lord. Please help me trust in you. But you just say that over and over again, and a peace will begin to settle on your soul. We can get through this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? I don't see you tonight or tomorrow. I wish you all a most blessed and joyful Christmas, especially if you're traveling. Pray for no snow in the pass. Amen.